Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome everyone to today's Blog Talk Radio broadcast. My name is Cassandra Job, the presenter of today's broadcast, which is hosted by Philip Spinger Ajisafe. He is also today's speaker. Today's topic for discussion is Part 2 of God Conspiracy, Satan Illusion. To avoid any background interference, we ask that you please put your phones on mute while listening. May the Lord bless his ministry. Thank you.
I welcome all our listeners to the part 2 of this broadcast, God Conspiracy, Satan Delusion. As we have just said last week, though we can continue this series to many parts, up to 15 parts as the revelation comes. But the motive of this broadcast is to consciously make our listener or the whole humanity who are created in the image of God that there is Creator and is in charge, is suffering. Why? He is only alone perfect. And in him, all things that we see and we don't see, why? By him, for him, and to him alone. And to establish infallibility of we human beings that God created in his own image. Without no doubt, human being in the image of God was so, or let me say, highly sophisticated. And we can buttress this thing. If God is all wise, all known, and all powerful, there's no doubt anything in his image must possess some of these characteristics. But in fact, when we try to study the complexity of human mind, there is no means that man himself can totally or absolutely understand the mind. And that this makes me to understand that beyond this realm of words, there's another realm which is more deeper than what this realm can explain. And that makes me to try to shed light using the realm of word in this sphere of this world that we see to try to explain with the limited ability of the world of unknown world. Like I said two weeks ago, we divine in human terminology, human world, the conspiracy. When you read the Bible, we can use word for the conspiracy too. In law, when we talk about conspiracy, it's always speaking of efforts or the agreements I mean, when we talk of agreement or effort, agreement cannot be, you have to be with either one or two parties. Either to do evil. And don't make mistake. We have to analyze what is evil. Like I said, when we want to go deeper, we use humanity, human word, which is trying to make senses out of everything that we see. But the point is that the intellect always forgets that nonsense is part of knowledge. I will repeat. We try to make senses out of everything. When you go to court, the judge trying to strike justice based on the evidences. And the evidences does not necessarily mean that you can get justice, because the judge has to weigh the character, the motive, the means, and the opportunity. Just earlier today, I was just reading, I will just paraphrase this thing because I just want to throw this thing into this broadcast briefly, about what happened in North Carolina, in which the policeman fatally shot an athletic man on Saturday. According to the story, the athletic guy had an accident, and it was saying that he was trying to seek help, but because it happened in the night, a woman mistakenly took this man that had an accident to be a burglar. It is. He called police. Anyway, to just corroborate the story, you know, when things happen, you have to seriously take note of motive, means, and opportunity. According to the story, three policemen responded. Now, after the investigation by police force, they find out that the police use excessive force to kill this innocent person. Conspiracy and delusion. Don't forget, a divine delusion has believed, strongly held, in spite of invalidating evidences, especially. They call it as a symptom of mental illness. You know, that is limitation of human mind, trying to make senses out of everything. But the irony of this theorem is, for instance, I will use this philosophy. If one person suffer from delusion, is called insanity. But when many people suffer from delusion, is called the religion. I will explain, because I want us to understand the concept of this thing seriously. It's because a behavior is associated with our mental reasoning. and the behavior does not necessarily define what man is. A behavior can be exhibited or is directly proportional to the environment, the situation, and the action of the environment is exhibited in the behavior. How can you differentiate the single man walking on the street, dancing on his own, and a congregation, about 30 people, gather together and do the same thing this man on the street is doing? Because of circumstances of the environment, man can mistakenly take the one man in that environment as insane, and as well as mistakenly diagnose the 30 congregation people as a religion. But the point is that they were doing the same thing. God's conspiracy, Satan's delusion. I will use the scripture to back up this broadcast. And I believe as time goes by, we might still revisit this topic again. But before I go, I've kept off a strong explanation or definition that I love about conspiracy, because in law, what when we hear or in our society, when they say this is a conspiracy, they were conspirator, we just always say, okay, they were trying to perpetrate evil. Maybe they are terrorists. They are going to do this thing. But part of this definition of conspiracy is to effect a legal purpose with a corrupt intent. Underline, to effect, you know, like a cause and effect. To effect a legal purpose with a corrupt intent. Let me remind you, to effect, there must be a cause. For a purpose, there must be a power. And for an intent, there must be a desire, which can be as a result of motive, means, and opportunity. You know, when we don't know, we don't know. You know, there is something that I love in the Bible. This is not what I just want to paraphrase it before I use what I want to use for this topic. It said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 19. Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 19 said, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. You know, to understand the link between law and grace, we have to remember that God is pure. That is, when we're talking about conspiracy, for humanity, we can only relate to conspiracy sometime unfavorably. You know, sometimes we try to blame God for everything that we think is evil, because we don't want to even seek and admit that we are inferior, we are limited, we are not powerful, we are limited in reasoning, in action, in everything. The professor of laws or the interpreter of law always claims superiority. But I still go back to what Aristotle said. He said, the wickedness corrupts human natures. And you know, law is law. I may not like to admit it, that it's a law. But there is a standard. And that is why when we want to talk about God's conspiracy, one thing we must be able to accept is that God is pure, perfect, holy, and righteous. And we are not. But without a measuring stick, we can see how truly sinful we are. You know, God, like I said, in this definition, to effect a legal purpose with a corrupt intent. That, let's borrow that word in this sphere of world. Because the example that I want to use, there are a lot of examples in the scripture, there is a lot of examples in reasoning, but I want to establish it in the Bible. I will use the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Sarah. But I want to just establish this thing as a bedrock of my argument. When God gave the Ten Commandments, which is the law in its essence, He revealed His character in a way that allows us to measure ourselves by His holiness. For instance, a speed camera is installed as a standard for every driver or as a yardstick for the acceptable speed limit. At a speed limit of 40 miles per hour or 40 kilometers per hour. If I decided to run at a speed like 60 kilometers, 60 miles per hour, I broke the law. And I become an offender of law. But guess what? The speed limit cannot arrest me. It does implicate me, make me not good. The conspiracy of speed camera, for me, it's supposing I'm in haste to go to my destination. And it's very important to me. I can never do anything with the speed limit. I either violated the law or abide by the law and miss my important schedule. The law is good, but cannot make anything good. The law by itself is good. You know, the conspiracy theorem, I'm not going there. Essentially, to effect a legal purpose, what is legal? We borrow the word from the sphere that when we go through the divine, which many people don't want to accept, and which is real, because in our daily activities, we abide by this rule, trying to move from known to unknown. And that is the advancement of technology, even in reason. You know, in the law of God, God has made the law and wants us to abide by the law. But the humanity nature that is corrupt because of the falling cannot obey this law. Then the law just reveals to us our need for grace. The speed camera is there to ask me to maintain the speed limit so that people can be driving safely. But because I have an important meeting, or because there was accident, the ambulance might break the rule. But because they break the rule does not necessarily mean they do not break the rule. But you see, the purpose of their speeding override the speed limit. If I decided to speed above the speed limit because of the purpose, I am guilty of the law. Am I supposed to be punished by the law? But how can I prove that this purpose that I have led me to do this? Then that has to be the grace. Because the judge doesn't want to know why I overspeed. He has to keep me, the police has to keep the ticket, and I must pay the fine. But now, when I genuinely knew, and there's no way to explain or people to buy this, my argument, then I need grace from one that is higher than the law. All has guilty and come short glory of God. But thank God, in his eternal love, he became man and he died on the cross for our sins. Without wasting time, in about 5 minutes, I just want to corroborate this broadcast today about what happened in the life of Abraham. In the book of Genesis, chapter 22, the Bible said that we paraphrase it because of time. Now it came to pass after this thing, I start from verse 1, Genesis 22, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. See God's conspiracy now, and the delusion of Satan, and the deception of Satan is, you see, God said, take now your son, the only son, Isaac, whom you love. But why? If God knows this, that he loved Isaac, and he's the only son, and he's the son of promise, why God want him to sacrifice him? So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering. You know, it's a burnt offering. And arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. See what I just said about grace. Abraham cannot even reason by this, because by intellect, if you use the senses, it doesn't make sense. But he has to make faith. To corroborate this thing, Abraham's son asked in verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? You can see God's conspiracy. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound his Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. You know, I'm not talking about faith, but I'm talking about God's conspiracy. Isaac was not 3 years old. He was not 10 years old. He was a real teenager of like 17, 18. When God said, sacrifice him, what do you think is going on in the mind of Isaac, seeing his beloved father, and take a knife to strike him to death? Based on what his father said that God told him. And now Isaac narrowly escaped the father to destroy his life. And he relates the experience he had on the way to sacrifice to Holy God, to his mother, Sarah, who was at home. And what do you think, Sarah? What do you think Sarah will feel? Having married with this man for almost donkey years, century? Having waited patiently to have a baby? And now, the only one at the old age that Sarah loved, that Abraham loved, and Abraham trying to slaughter him. And how do you think Abraham wants to justify what is action? Because when he said God said it, how can you rectify it? And that is why we have to, into the conclusion of this broadcast, I want us to know that God is a perfect and holy God. He wants us to know that we cannot rely on human being forever. Even when this man loves his son, there's a limitation he can do when in the time of trouble. Even Sarah that does not believe that Abraham, her husband, can do that. Well, she can't do anything. Abraham attempted to kill Isaac anyway. And if Abraham is trying to explain his action, it's between Abraham and God. In this conspiracy, devil might be trying to, in this world of senses, devil is so delusional. His teaching is to say, you see, that man called himself a man of God. You think he's right. Can you know that he can't trust, you can't trust him? But the irony of everything that God wants us to know is that in him alone, we have to put our trust. For him alone, that is the source of everything, known and unknown, can bring things that look bad and make it good. Even in human philosophy, we know that trial can always make us fitter or better. But if you just try to go by senses, listen to the delusion, the deception of devil, instead of us to move by faith, this does not mean that we are encouraged evil, but to put our trust in God, who knows what is better and who can justify us, because by law we are already condemned. For the thought of man is evil continuously. Thank you for listening for this broadcast. And I believe in the time coming, we will revisit this topic again, maybe to go to part 3 as God lives. And I believe we will be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. Due to pre-scheduled events, we will not be having a broadcast in 2 weeks on September 29th. But please tune in for another broadcast on October 13, 2013, on which the topic will be My Vision, My Mission, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Please tune in, and may God bless you. Thank you.